Welcome to Explain the Prophetic, where each week I give you a prophetic perspective, and we sometimes have interviews, and we're looking together for how hearing God's voice can change not only our lives, but the world around us. You can hear God, and as you build that connection, your whole life will change. Remember to follow me at social media, at Sean Bowles, or subscribe to this podcast. You know, we're in the time of the Jewish New Year, and every year we set aside time to pray and ask God about it. And this year, one of the things that God showed us in light of Charlie Kirk and his martyrdom that's just happened is the fact that God's raising up voices and people who are going to bring clarity into society. And I think that this is so profound that a seed fell into the ground. And we're going to talk about that. And also, we're going to talk about God igniting fires inside of some of you in this season that's going to burn through all the warfare you've been facing, and the tipping point is about to happen. So if you're interested in either of those subjects, make sure to stay with us right now on Exploring the Prophetic. I'm so excited to bring you this message. Well, Rosh Hashanah is the Jewish New Year, and it literally means, I don't know if you know this, but head of the year, which is so cool to think about how Jewish people actually think about each of the feasts, and this being the Feast of Trumpets, it's tied to the Feast of Trumpets. And Leviticus, I would say that word wrong, Leviticus 23, when God commanded Israel to mark a holy day of reflection, repentance, and renewal. And it begins with the 10 days of awe leading up to Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And these times and these seasons were set aside by God, not by Israelites, but by God. And I think as Christians, we can also see a value in these things and some of the practices that were done then. For Jewish people, it's the time to pause and to take stock and to realign with God. And for Christians, I think it can be really powerful too, because the God of Israel still speaks in his appointed times. It's a season to ask, what is God saying for me for this Jewish new year, for the new year of God that God set an order of time? What is God saying? I know some of us do that in January. It's like, or the end of December, like, what are you saying, God, for my 2026? You can start now. You can start right now. And another question is, where do I need to reset? That's a good question right now, especially in light of some of the things that have been happening. And what fresh wisdom is God giving me for what's ahead? I know that I ask that each year at Yom Kippur, like, what are you showing me, God? And I know that part of what he's showing me is tied to what I'm seeing in the spirit for you, which is really good. So think of it as a spiritual reset button. The shofar blast that begins Rosh Hashanah is a wake-up call to pay attention. God's about to do something new. And if you need a new in your life, say hashtag my turn and put your name and what you're, or I guess we'll see your name, but in YouTube or Facebook, and tell us what you need prayer for. And we're going to help pray for you in this episode and during this weekend. So even if you're not Jewish, the weekend is a perfect time to reflect and pray and invite God to give you clarity and fresh direction for this new year ahead, even into 2026. So for me, there's two main words of my spirit right now. And the first one is that God's raising up voices of clarity that are going to cut through arguments and confusion. And clarity is a true breaker anointing. It's the true thing that breaks off confusion. It dismantles arguments without multiplying all the noise. And this is huge because we have someone like Charlie Kirk who just passed away. And over this last decade, since 2020, we've been talking about how this is the decade, according to Rabbi Jason Sobel and others, that God's giving people who need a voice a voice. God's giving people who will change things in society and culture and major industries and major leadership over politics and the church. God's giving people a voice. And in the midst of Charlie Kirk's voice being silenced by the enemy, that intention of heaven, the intention of God was never to let that voice or the mandate that was on Charlie's life fall to the ground. But actually, there's others who are going to pick it up. And it's not just one person, but it's going to be a multifaceted clarity anointing from so many people to go in so many different spaces of culture. And Charlie was an example of that. And I'm so blessed by his example. And it's been, I mean, my wife and I have been grieving like crazy over the fact that we lost Charlie, but we're starting to also shift into the hope of what God wants to bring, because God, the word of God never returns void. It says in the Bible, in the intention of God, the destinies of God of our lives never return empty to God. When he sets them out, there's always a place of fulfillment so that Jesus can ultimately get everything and his reward when he returns. And some of you right now, God is igniting destiny purposes in your life, and there's a fire on it that no warfare can stop. There's an inflection point or a hinge moment right now happening over 2026, over the rest of this year, a hinge moment to turn the tide. And I think it's so important that we look at this and kind of delve into it. And maybe this is your moment of the reset button as you hear these words. But before we get there, if you're navigating spiritual storms, or Spiritual Growth Academy just had a class this month about finding God in the storms, and either you're going through a storm or someone you know is, and this is going to give you practical and even sometimes prophetic help for real pressure. It's being led by Brian and Alicia McGill. Alicia is the assistant director of the entire spiritual mentoring community that we lead. And they've gone through some wars in their marriage and in their lives that they are on the winning end of in such a major way. Their redemption stories phenomenal. So they're in their fourth and final week, but you can go back and listen to all the weeks and still join them live for live prayer and live questions, or just listen or watch at your own pace of whatever you can afford to do this week as far as time. And next month, I'm going to be able to be your prophetic coach, and we're doing a prophetic coaching intensive. And it's not just about how to hear God for others, although we'll do that, but it's also about what do you do when God speaks to you words or speaks direction, or you have that gut feeling, that gut check of I'm supposed to do this for God. How do you hear God in ways that brings actionable change in your life? And so I'm going to hopefully mentor you in those 4 weeks for greater clarity and to carry the words with real maturity and walk these words out wisely. And I'm seeing one of the biggest things that happens, and when people get words from God, especially on their own from God, where they receive a prophetic word from others and they try and walk it out, is a lot of confusion and sometimes missteps and timing and sometimes overzealousness or sometimes striving for it. And so we're going to deal with that for the first couple weeks. Then we're going to focus on giving words to others and how to do it in a place of maturity and giving people the freedom to hear God for themselves. It's going to be so profound. Both of these classes go to bowlsministries.com, and I hope you guys will join us there. Well, let's get to this word, because God is raising up clarity and voices of clarity. And he's also going to break off the confusion through this clarity. And we're living, of course, in an age of contention. We're seeing cultural arguments. I mean, I've seen theological debates I've never seen before in history take front and center stage in at least the social media end of the church and the YouTube end of the church. Family divisions and are happening because of politics and because of thoughts and ideas. Leadership uncertainty is happening because of all the exposures that have happened. Yet God, he's raising up voices of clarity. And there's men and women who are going to carry a wisdom and are already carrying it, but they're going to carry it into their place of influence, that it's going to disarm the contention and it's going to expose truth without adding more noise. It's not going to add more confusion, or it's not going to add more argument. It's going to expose something that causes a dispelling of the intensity and the warfare around certain ideas and thoughts. It doesn't mean that there's not still warfare existing somewhere in those areas, but we're going to watch people who dispel the confusion, dispel the arguments, dispel the intensity or the warfare or the energy that's been on a lot of this stuff. And I think of 1 Kings 3 when Solomon has these two mothers come to him, and you know, in one sentence, the Spirit of God gives them wisdom to dissolve the argument. You know, they say, this is my baby, this is my baby, and they're fighting over whose child this is, and the reason why they're fighting is so disastrous. And he goes, well, you know, tear the baby in half and give one half to that woman and one half to that woman. And the woman who was a real mother says, no, let her have the baby, because he knew in that moment that the truth, the love, the affection of a mother would really rise up and dispel this whole thing. And we see this in so many different ways in the Bible, where it's like there's a word that exposes the reality or the agenda of both the enemies, but also of God. And James 1:5 says, if you lack wisdom, let anyone who lacks wisdom ask God, and it's going to be given to you. And I think we just need to have those moments where we stop and we ask God for wisdom over maybe it's a family situation or in your marriage or with your children. And you stop and you say, God, you promised me that if I lack wisdom, you're going to give me wisdom generously. And those wisdom moments are going to be those voices of clarity that I've talked about earlier. You know, Luke 20:20-26, Jesus says, render to Caesar what Caesar's, because they were trying to set him up for a trap. Should he pay taxes? Should he not pay taxes? And this trap becomes a masterclass in discernment. And there's so many of these in the Bible where God gives wisdom, unusual wisdom. And I remember being in the UK and I was ministering to a group, and it was a group of very mature believers. And there was a woman there who had been walking with God for a very short period of time, but she had had a Christian foundation in her teenage years. And she came up to me afterwards and she said, I don't know what to do. My boyfriend's beating me and I live with him and he's been abusing me this whole time. And he wants to get married. And it's just been an awful situation. And I'm a good Christian girl, but he's not a Christian. And I don't know I can't get out of this because he's violent. And I said, I just had this moment where I remember like being in training for people who've gone through domestic abuse during a pastoral weekend. And one of the things that they said is usually women who are in domestic abuse have a secret bank account. So I just had that knowledge of just what they said. So that came up in me, and out of my mouth, and this total wisdom of God, I said, do you have a secret bank account? And she goes, yeah. And I said, how much do you have in there? And she had several thousand dollars. And I said, I want you to go give him that money tonight. Just give him the money. Now she's asking for me to help her decide if she should leave him or not, or what she should do in this situation. She looks battered. She's not carrying herself with a healthy relational process would carry, like a woman who's in a healthy relationship carries herself with dignity because of that relationship, you know, and a man does too. And so she listens to me and she goes, give all the money that I've been saving to maybe get out of this to him? Are you crazy? Are you stupid? Like, what are you talking about? And out of my mouth comes, you have more value in that secret bank account and the money that is in there than your own body, your own physical, emotional, spiritual health. And so you value that money and the escape it could bring you than just making a wise, good decision for yourself. You're valuable. And she breaks down, starts crying in my arms, and she just has her decision in her heart because she realizes I'm willing to give my body and my go through great pain and endure great hardship because I think I love him. I'm somehow bound to this relationship in an unhealthy way, but I'm not willing to, I'm hiding things from him that I wouldn't give him because I value those things more. That was like those profound, and it came out of my mouth. I was like, thank you, Jesus, that you speak through us, that you do things that in these moments, you know. And obviously next time I went back to England and she came out to me and she emailed me before that, but I got to see her and she looked different. She wore dignity and pride and the right kind of pride, the right kind of, you know, she just looked like a very balanced, well-balanced person. I loved it. And I think of, you know, like Acts 15, the Jerusalem Council, you know, they give this prophetic discernment with scripture plus witness and community clarity. You have these moments in scripture where that comes out, where there's like the Bible comes to life through the wisdom that we get and it presents options in the world. And sometimes it's not direct scripture. It's just the foundation of scripture comes through you and it presents options and it makes God look like something valuable because he is. And it allows people to see through maybe lies or facades they've been looking at. And I just think God's going to raise up more and more of these moments over political issues or over humanitarian issues or over environmental issues or over church issues, that some of this fluff and some of the confusion, I think the word confusion is the best word, from so many voices populating the space who don't have wisdom or have a part of wisdom are going to just be dispelled, where we've had a spirit of confusion of this generation that's created anxiety, that's created division, that's created so many things. I think what it looks like is in culture, we're going to see clear voices puncture performative outrage with redemptive insight. Like they're going to puncture this thing through. They're going to, this thing that feels like it's been this brick wall, they're going to like pop a hole in it. And we're going to be able to see through some of these arguments that, you know, you see people on late night television or on the mainstream news media. The trust for the mainstream news, I think, is at 26%. I might be wrong on the exact number, but it's around there, according to secular mainstream studies. And it's showing you that it's just, but it's still there. So it's just breeding confusion. The lack of factual journalism that's happening right now, the opinion journalism that's based on a lot of opinions that not our whole country shares, there's so much division. So when you have somebody who has a voice of clarity on them over an issue, it causes the Supreme Court to line up with laws. It causes politics to line up. It causes industries to line up and go, wait, this isn't wrong. I mean, we've been watching it some with big tech, with when they were censoring all the voices and they were marginalizing conservatives and Christians and these kinds of people. And all of a sudden Trump gets elected and all the big tech companies were there at the inauguration and going, we want to do this differently. Meta admitted that they did something wrong and they were losing a valuable part of their community, which was the conservatives, which was half of their community. They were losing them. And they immediately repealed their decisions internally to go after DEI and go after, you know, conservative voice, like to have DEI present, to where these people who had DEI perspectives were marginalizing conservative voices and Christians. And they took out the DEI and then they also added back the ability to have public discourse. And they took away that rhetoric that words are violence. And they actually said, wait a minute, words can be violent, but they're not violence in themselves. And words do not kill Charlie Kirk, right? We see that now. A gun did. Somebody who had this twisted mindset because of being indoctrinated wrongly killed him, you know, because he chose evil. And I think that there's been a narrative that's, it's really a demonic spirit to shut down critical thinking and to shut down public discourse and to shut down talking to people from another viewpoint without villainizing and demonizing them and actually seeing people with value after God's own heart. Jesus did that all the time. He valued the Samaritan woman at the well, who was an enemy to the Jews. And he sat next to her and said, I want some water. And he did something that was illegal in their culture. So it's actually a Jewish man to ask a Samaritan woman for water was considered like an illegal or an unethical or immoral act. And he started in that moment valuing her. And so she listened. She's like, well, what are you doing here? You know, why are you paying attention to me? I think that God's going to raise up these voices who operate out of a different culture inside. And it's a love-based culture. So it's not just an argumentative culture that tries to prove principles as right and wrong. Sometimes we could be right. And we could be violating the second part of the scripture, which is love. Like we want truth, but we want truth in love. And sometimes truth and love is hard. And sometimes truth and love can be a velvet cover brick, but other times it can be soft. And a lot of Christianity, even that's raising up its voice after, because we've been so suppressed and oppressed, and there's been so much villainizing Christians for all our perspectives, especially conservative Christians. A lot of Christians are mad. And so they're not operating out of that right value system yet, but God's going to raise up voices of clarity of what it looks like to be in the world, but not of the world, and to be in opposition to something without hating the people who you're in opposition to, their system or their program. And we're going to go through a beautiful age of learning how to be in culture in a progressively powerful way without being evil. And I think that that's profound, because good Christian people have been evil throughout history, like doing the Crusades, doing all kinds of things that we shouldn't have done, that was not God's design for us, in the name of truth, but not in the name of truth inspired by love. And I think that that's really an important part. So the second thing is, you know, you look at churches and ministries, and we're going to see counsel that resolves longstanding stalemates without shaming people. And that's huge. There's stalemates between whole ministries and churches and movements. And we're going to watch these stalemates where there's just no way forward. And we're going to watch voices of clarity raise up unity and movements and denominations that wouldn't even work together. We're going to watch denominations who've kind of opened themselves to progressive left wokeism. We're going to watch them swing back on that place where they've been over here. And we're going to watch them swing back over here. And voices of reason are going to rise up that don't just make sense, but are revelatory. They cause people to say, that's what God wants us to follow. That's what we're about. That's who we are. Voices that impart true identity. You know, we're going to see this in homes, and we're going to see a sentence from the Spirit that settles what months of arguing couldn't. One sentence from, like, and sometimes that sentence is, I'm sorry. Sometimes that sentence is humility. Sometimes that sentence is, you know, empathy. Sometimes that sentence is compassion. Sometimes it's, I can't change what I believe, but I love you anyways. I mean, these are powerful things that Christians actually can engage and not just live internalized in our values, but actually be voices of clarity. And I think we've been far too internal. And I think I've seen a lot of the posts out there for that people have left, where it's like, if your church didn't say something about Charlie Kirk on Sunday, that's probably not a good church to go to. And I understand the sentiment. I think there's a relative truth in that, in the sense that one of the greatest kind of conservative Christians in our generation in America has been killed for his faith, ultimately. So he's been martyred for his faith. And there's many churches who should look at that and go, wow, there's a price that's been paid in our generation. We want to honor that man, even if we don't agree with all of his policies or all of his perspectives. But there's a lot of churches that aren't even honoring the fact that we've had an American martyr on this level for the first time in modern history. And so that is scary when people don't want to acknowledge it because they're afraid of what that acknowledgement could mean, or what that the vision of that acknowledgement could mean. And yet we see in scripture when we honor people, I mean, Paul honored several people who he disagreed with. You know, we watch that with the disciples. Sometimes they had disagreements, that they honored each other. And there's something about us and the mentality that's, we're gonna create like a protection of our people, of what we believe, because we don't want to become too political, or we don't become too charismatic, or we don't want to become too mainstream evangelical. We don't want to become too seeker friendly. And so we're gonna be really careful on how we pastor our culture, and we're not gonna bring relative truth of what's happening in society into it. And in some ways, the Synod did a better job of honoring Charlie Kirk than a lot of the churches did, because they actually made a national day of honor and commemoration for Charlie Kirk. They unanimously passed it just the other day. And yet the churches are still having a hard time, do we talk about this or not, in a lot of churches in America, let alone the world. And I think that there's something about getting wisdom from God about how to position our hearts. And there's a boldness in the wisdom, and the wisdom will only come if we will be bold in our stand for Christ, and if we'll only be bold in our stand for his values. And Charlie was that. He was bold. And I think a lot of churches are going to be left behind in this season, and we're going to watch a diminishing of numbers and decrease of even churches that were famous. Remember, some of the churches 10 years ago that were some of the biggest churches in the world, because of all kinds of things, are no longer even present on the world stage anymore. So it can happen in a moment. If you're a church, it's thriving and huge, and you're one of the answers for your community, and yet you're not walking in step with the wisdom of God, you could be irrelevant in 10 years. And 50% of the churches that I went to, I traveled for 30 years in the body of Christ, and 50% of the churches that I went to for those 30 years don't even exist anymore. And a lot of it's because all the problems in the church right now today, which we've seen. I love the church, but there's a lot of problems. When it comes to how pastors lead churches and the whole thing, there needs to be new models. But a lot of it's because people didn't know how to stand for Christ long-term in a way that's generational and isn't built around one pastor or personality. And we're going to watch voices of clarity come into the church world and help us. You know, and I think we got to posture for this. And how do we posture for this? How do we posture in these areas to be a voice of clarity? How do we posture to ask God for wisdom? Well, one of the things that we do as James 1:5 is we say, God, make me a person of wisdom. Give me wisdom where the world's lacking wisdom, where the church is lacking wisdom. Make me a person of wisdom, but also raise up other people who have wisdom and let me know when it's happening so I can connect to it and say, God, you know, some of you are reposting memes all the time on your Instagram. I do it all the time, or on your whatever, you know, or sending your family Snapchats of funny dog memes. What if you were curating the wisdom that God's releasing on the earth right now, and you were able to bring it and consolidate it in one place for your family and friends? I mean, how beautiful would that be? And I think that we want to be targeted sources for the wisdom of God, even if it doesn't originate with our own faith and our own, not our own faith, but our own relationship with God, if it's someone else. And I think just becoming people of wisdom again. And we also want to fast from fruitless debates, you know, and feed on truth. Philippians 4:8 is so clear on how we should feed on truth. And we, if you're in a fruitless debate that you know you're not going to win from, why are you there? Why are you there? Why are you present? Use the energy that you only have so much of in this lifetime in something that's fruitful. And if your energy has been drained from you, probably, because when you're doing something from God that is in step with him in the season you're in, not just something that you were supposed to do, and so you're just doing it the rest of your life, but you're now disconnected from God, and so you're drained and you're burned out. But when you're in step with God and you're doing something that's fruitful, but it takes a lot of energy, your energy gets replenished. But when you are doing something that's fruitless, especially when it's debating or when it's fighting battles that aren't yours to fight, you get drained in a way that feels like spiritual chronic fatigue. And some of you need to hear that, because you need to actually like stop the drain. You need to like put a stopper on it and say, I'm not going to do this anymore. Maybe it's one relationship that every time you're with them, you talk about one thing, and that relationship has gone from a fruitful relationship to a fruitless relationship. So you actually have to present yourself in that relationship, ask God for wisdom, and say, let's start over in a place that we do agree on. Let's start over in a place that we can find life on together, instead of these fruitless debates that are happening on social media, that are happening everywhere else. I mean, sometimes we'll have people who begin to use our platform on social media as a debate for who's wrong and who's right, or who's failing and who's not failing. And I mean, our whole calling as a ministry is to show you and point to you what God's doing, create conversations around what God's doing in the world around us in a mainstream way, to look at what's happening in the big world, like what's happening in culture and politics and entertainment, and look for Jesus in those spaces. And so we're not arguing about what's not happening and what people are doing wrong. We're not focused on that. And so much of that can be good, because sometimes we need to process as Christians, but in smaller circles. But in the bigger circles, it becomes fruitless at most of the time. And I want to encourage you to fast from those things, and then practice being slow to speech, quick to listen. And James 1:19 talks about that. There's something about listening to the other argument. And I think when I was pastoring, I was wondering, Christians who believed in abortion, like why they believed that. So I sat down and I listened to the arguments, not because I felt like it was going to shape or change me, but I wanted to have a true empathy. I wanted to have a quick listener in me to find out why they got to that space, so that I could have authority in the relationship to at least stand with them as a fellow Christian or a fellow brother and sister, even if I didn't agree with them. I didn't want to just disagree and just judge them. And so I think the lost skill of gaining empathy is listening. And so many of the loudest voices are not listeners. They're not listening voices. They're the main authority. They become the king of the mountain. They become the king of the hill. And I've watched good social commentators, because it's the world, one of the spaces that I'm in, and I've watched good Christian commentators who are bitter right now. They're going down the controversy spirals, and they're going down the conspiracy stuff. And one is, you could build your platform faster if you do that, and you monetize easier. Two is, because it's more interesting sometimes than actually stopping and listening and actually getting to know people's hearts. And talking about goodness is actually a slower burn than talking about controversy if you're in public spaces. So if you're gonna be a voice of clarity, you're gonna have to choose, who am I gonna serve in this? Am I really gonna be a voice of clarity for what God's doing? Or am I gonna be a voice of good wisdom over hardship that's happening on the earth that God's not even pointing me at right now? And you sound real wise, but you get burned out real fast. And I think the fourth thing is, we're going to keep scripture central. You know, wisdom is formed by the word of God. If you're not spending time in the word of God, there's so many studies over the last couple of years on spending time in the Bible. Psalm 119, 105 is one of my favorite scriptures about that. But we have to be formed by the word of God. We have to read the word regularly. And if we're not reading it regularly, we become a shell version of Christianity. And I know a lot of people who don't. I mean, when they were in the word and they were like on fire, that's when I fell in love with their ministry or their voice. And now they're at a place where it's like they're a regurgitated form of when they did have revelation or when they were in the word. And now they're not really that in the word anymore. They're not, there's not fresh manna. And we want to go be in a place of like, okay, God, how do we stay centralized to having a hunger to read the Bible, where it's not boring or we're not burned out on it, but we actually are fresh in it. And thank God for the Christian entertainment that's coming out, like the House of David and The Chosen and other programs that are coming out, because it brings to life and light someone else's imagination about looking at the word creatively, of the stories of the Bible that help you to go back in and read it again and read it differently. And I know for me, I remember when I was younger, one of my first favorite experiences of a creative experience was the Bible experience done by African American community. And it was so amazing to have some of the best actors in the entertainment industry reading the Bible dramatically together. I still listen to it. I listened to it the other day for, I started the Bible over in it because I hadn't listened to it in a while. And I think it's free on YouTube now, but it's just so profound to listen to the Bible experience or to listen to something that's creative, stay involved in the word. So I got a prophetic charge for you before we get into part two. And the part two is about warfare. So I got a prophetic charge for you. Some of you are going to receive Solomon style sentences, maybe single phrases that bring solution and carry heaven's weight, and write them down. Deliver them with humility. Watch confusion break over people. But some of you, you're going to live out the wisdom. You're going to be an opposite. When people are having a marriage breakdown, they're going to look at your life and they're going to go, there's something the way that he just treated his wife or she just treated her husband that I've never seen in our marriage. I'm going to go talk to them about that. Some of them are going to look at who you are and the fruit of who you are and come and speak to you, or maybe how you're doing with your kids. Like that person, their daughter has ADHD. How are they dealing with this? Or that their kid is getting an F too in school. What are they doing about it? And people are constantly trying to crowdsource. But when they crowdsource to a Christian, they get osmosis of the Holy Spirit through us. And I believe that some of the voices of clarity are going to come in your natural spheres when people are looking at you and they're seeing a difference because the way you're living your life has a God element to it that they don't have. And they're going to look for that God element and they're going to ask you questions. So be open to those questions and don't come as a Bible answer man knowing everything, but come as somebody in humility of saying, this is what we're trying. This is what we're Christians and this is what we feel like our pursuit of faith is showing us to do, or that God's showing us to do. And I think some of you are going to have the most profound, profound breakthroughs. You know, I think of some of the neighbors I've got to invite over the years to church and see saved, and some of the people who've worked with us on real estate projects or on in insurance or at different places where we were able to have moments with them after working with them, especially long-term, where they go, I want what you have, or can I talk to you about something? And I love those moments because you become a voice of clarity in their life, especially if their life is breaking or if they're going through something really hard, that they're looking for who has stability, who's anchored, who's rooted. And when they look at you, you get to go, you know, yeah, let me tell you about who anchors me or what I'm rooted in. And it means something. So be really open to that, because there's going to be a lot of evangelism experiences that you may not even feel like an evangelist, or that you know how to share your faith. But if you're living a life with Jesus, your faith naturally shares itself. If you're living a life in relationship to Jesus, your faith is shared all the time, even if you never thought about it. So the second part of this whole word for Rosh Hashanah is I feel like God's igniting destiny purposes, that no warfare is going to stop, but all hell is broken out. You know, so many of you have had hell broken out over the last, maybe since COVID. Some of you have had it just for the last few months. Maybe it's over finances, over a business project, over relationships, over a church thing, over whatever. Hell has broken out, and hell has broken out in a consolidated way, condensed way across the body of Christ, across the world, because God's about to do something that is a global movement, is a global impact. And so we're seeing people, like when I've talked to different friends, I remember we were going through something, I was asking different friends for prayer, and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm going through this. And they could match the energy of what I was going through with their own version of what they're going through in their own sphere. And I was like, wow, there's no one that's not going through something. And when I say that, it's not a negative. It's like just showing the level of intensity of warfare that's been happening in families and purposes and businesses and all and ministries has been across the board. And we're crossing from a prolonged contention into a watershed where God's lighting callings that have felt delayed. Yeah, I mean, this isn't going to be a hype thing. It's going to be a holy ignition that really survives resistance. And I think that that's a huge thing. This is what God's doing, is going to survive the resistance that's in the world around it. It's going to turn the tides of battles, and it's going to turn battles into testimonies. Some of you are in the middle of the battle and you can't see how this would ever be a testimony, but you're going to go on the other end because God's going to do something so big. You're going to say, oh my gosh, I never knew it could be this big. You know, this is what I lost, but this is what I gained. And it's a Job moment in the sense of, like, my friend Bob Haston, who does Exploring the Marketplace with me, just taught on Job at his church in Jesus Culture, San Diego, just a couple of weeks ago. And I love what he said, because he said there's 42 chapters of Job where Job is just going through it. And there was not resolution until the very end. And some of you are in that point where it's like, I've gone through the longest season of my life, but the resolution is going to be so good. And if you think that word of breaker that's in the Bible over and over, where God says, I'll go and break the way ahead of you. I will go and break the door open in front of you. I will go and be your breaker. When you think about that, when you think about what that could mean, that God's going to go break through something. There's a final push moment, and there's going to be strategies that close long wars that you've been in your life. Maybe it's a war of addiction. Maybe it's a war in your family. Maybe it's a war in your marriage. Maybe it's a war in, you know, your business, whatever it is. And God's going to bring some spiritual anchors. Again, I use that in the last part of this message, but God's going to bring some spiritual anchors. And Micah 2:13, I wrote a whole little prayer book about the breaker anointing, or, you know, breakthrough. And Micah 2:13 is a powerful scripture where it says the breaker, which is the Lord, goes up before them, and they get to pass through the gate because he breaks it open. Or Isaiah 22:22 is one of my favorite scriptures. God gives you keys to open what no one can shut. Some of you are about to enter that in the season of warfare. You're getting to the tipping point. You're going to be able to open the door that you've been warring for. And Zechariah 4, 6 or 7, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Who are you, great mountain, in front of me? I mean, like, that's our Jesus. And when you get to that point of, like, Elijah, when he sets the fire, you know, and God answers after he, well, I mean, sorry, he didn't set the fire. When he waters down all of the altar and he makes it impossible for God to show up, and God answers it with an ignition. I mean, it's just rains, you know. I just think it's so profound what the moment we're going to be in. Some of you are like, it looks like the opposite of breakthrough, but God's going to come through with a fire that no man and no demon can quench. And if God's for us, who can be against us? Because we're more than conquerors. In Romans, it says that. I mean, it's so profound. Some of us forget that. Some of us forget that we are more than conquerors. Look at your circumstances right now that feel so heavy, and look at Jesus and say that out loud to yourself. I'm more than a conqueror. Like, I'm an overcomer into eternity. I have an eternal life already. Like, he's given me an eternal life. If my life is in Jesus, it's eternal. And I'm more than a conqueror. I'm going to overcome these circumstances. These will not define my eternity. This is not going to define my opportunity forever. This is not, he did. Jesus already did it on the cross. And some of the ignition is going to look like a strategic alignments with covenant relationships. You know, you're going to all of a sudden get moved into the right people who are advocates, or who are strong with you, or who help to open doors. Maybe it's in the business where you've had the wrong banking relationship or the wrong lawyer relationship. All of a sudden you get the right one. I had a friend recently who I was praying over him, and I said, you know, he was facing defamation of his company, his entire company. And his lawyer was very passive. And we were praying about it. I said, God wants to give you a new lawyer. And this one relationship is going to change the outcome. And he's like, Sean, I've had the same lawyer forever. I would never betray him by using somebody else. I said, this isn't about betraying a friend. This is about betraying God's assignment on your life by not actually getting all the resources you need to overcome this season. And he took that really seriously. And he prayed and he said, God, bring me alignment. And a friend of his who he hadn't talked to in a number of years had gone through a very similar thing and said, I had the best lawyer, gave him the number of the lawyer. That lawyer gave him one step, one strategy. Again, voices of clarity. Voices of clarity are being raised up. And he was able to do that. And the whole thing was solved in a week. The thing he'd been laboring, warring through for years was solved with one legal notice. I mean, how crazy is God? How good is God? So strategic alignments, maybe covenant relationships that are like the partner you needed to, you know, one could take 1,000, two could take 10,000, the partnership you needed. Maybe it's a partnership in life, relationship, maybe it's a marriage, whatever it is. Strategic alignments are going to come, and it's going to break that warfare. There's going to be right doors that come. The right timing's finally going to come. Like, some of you have been waiting past the midnight hour, you know, but there's going to be clarity in this fire. Warfare reveals our real priorities. I think I'm going to talk about this all next week for our prophetic message, but warfare reveals our real priorities. And some of you have been in such an extended season of warfare, but your boundaries have gone up. Like, maybe before you were a little too codependent or a little bit too free with the way you gave yourself away, or the way that you gave your time, your energy, your resources, or maybe you were too distracted, or maybe you were too excited about things that weren't necessarily the core of what you're doing, or maybe you had too many projects, whatever it was. When there's warfare, when you go through life and death, when you go through the cutting off of precious things, man, it reveals the priorities, and you start to center in to what's true and what's right. We see that after war times in countries. We see that after times like Charlie Kirk getting assassinated. Like, we see where people want to set their priorities differently. When the warfare lifts, or when the warfare is over, or maybe when you're in the middle of the beginning of the warfare where you're seeing that God can win, distractions burn off. You stop caring about lesser things. And I think that that's a really important point. Well, breakthrough plans also need to be part of this, because some of you, God wants to bring breakthrough practical steps for just the spiritual anchors that will end the cycles of warfare that have been going on. That doesn't mean it's all up to you. It's not like you could have done this earlier, or that before, if you had just aligned yourself before, this all would have been had a better outcome. Some of you are like literally Job. You did everything you could, and then there was a testing of warfare that happened in your life, or the enemy set himself against you. But when it's the right time, when you're at the right place at the right time, I think of Daniel in Babylon, you know, like he sets himself apart for God. He does everything right, and then he still gets thrown into the pit of lions. But God comes in the pit of lions, not warfare, and actually secures him for generational rulership with those kings of Babylon. And I think some of you don't realize that the stand that you take now and stepping into the plan of God actually ends cycles of warfare when it's time. And some of you are going to hear, it's time. It's time this spirit that's been against you is going to be done. I've had a harassment before. I remember I was telling one of my pastors about a harassment of another kind of group that was coming after me for just harassing me for a long period of time and mocking what we're doing as a ministry and the whole thing. And this is many years ago. And I remember just saying to the pastor, I go, what do I do about this? And he goes, you know, there's a little diviner girl that harassed the apostles when they were preaching. And she did it for a couple of days. And finally, something rose up inside of them and they turned around and delivered her. Now, we think of it sometimes as like they just got sick of it and they finally turned around and delivered. But they were actually building spiritual authority and saying, God, what do we do about this? Because this harassment that's coming beside us and mocking what you're doing through us, like, we don't know what to do because we can't send her out. We're in public squares. We can't send her away. We can't, you know, do something that the world would do, which is like to end her voice somehow by, you know, threatening her or something. We just got to do what you do. And finally, God's spirit of authority after a couple of days built within them of probably a love for that little girl because she's being used by the people who owned her. She was a slave girl to divine things. And after a couple of days, they had this authority to say, you know, cast the spirit out of her. When they cast it out of her, those people were so mad that their young slave girl could no longer divine the future out of a demonic spirit that they got mad at the apostles. But it was such a conflict that just a showdown in the spirit. Some of you have been building authority to cast a spirit out. Some of you have been standing and walking in authority in your life. And it's not just going to cast out for you. It's going to cast out for a region, for people, for other families, for other, you know, groups. And we don't think that way. We don't think that way. We don't think of how big that deliverance is going to be, not just for us. We think of the oppression we feel. We think of the harassment we feel. We think of the mocking sometimes that we feel. We don't think about what's going to happen on the other end where there's breakthrough for so many because we endured the harassment without having a spirit of the world to react to it. And God's building a story in some of you in that space. I know for us, it's been a lifeline to know that God will at one point, not by our might or strength or power, but by his spirit, is going to deliver some things that are unfair in our life, that are unfair accusations or unfair thoughts that people have. And at one point, God will deliver him in his way. And he'll do it, you know, in a crazy way. Another thing that he wants to do in this season is as he ignites you, it's a sustainable flame. It's not a sparkler. It's not an enduring, you know, little beam of light. This will light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. It's a fire that's going to fuel your assignments. It's going to fuel your relationships. It's going to fuel your purposes. And the Holy Spirit that you've been working so hard. Some of you have been like in therapy and in counseling and in discipleship and in home groups and in church, like dedicated in these purposes, like serving, like giving yourself, like going as a family multiple times a week to church, these kinds of things. Man, God's going to reward your faithfulness and he's going to reward it with a burning, passionate fire that you may feel the opposite of today. Like sometimes right before the fire comes, we feel like stripped of all human zeal, all effort that we could make that would bring any satisfaction. We feel like almost like on empty because before God fills something, a lot of times he burns out everything that would be there or he takes away anything that would give fulfillment that's other than him. And so some of you have been going through an emptying or like a stripping away. And that's a beautiful thing, even though it's hard, but this is a sober thought, but man, God is doing something that he's going to fill that container, that space that you made for him in such a beautiful way. And the level of igniting you're going to feel, the level of internal sense of well-being, the internal sense of well spiritual being you're going to feel, it's going to be so profound, so profound. You know, we've just seen the nation rocked by the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And it's a moment that I know stirred in me anger and grief. And there's all kinds of rhetoric that's happening out there across the spectrum, both the conservatives, the liberals, the Christians. We're seeing, all kinds of stuff. But whatever your politics, it's a time of sober prayer, not escalation. But we know that God's going to redeem every terrible loss in our lives. And we're watching God awaken courage in his people. And it's a courage that's rooted in his love and his truth and Jesus, not the revenge, not fear, not like who's going to get killed next, but actually like the people who are out there in public squares and spaces. Like I think of Daily Wire or Sean Floyd or just different people who would go out in those spaces are actually more excited to go out there because they just know that God's with them, that God's doing something, even though they're counting their life as though it's already lost, which is the true state of like, I'm living for God and I'm dying daily, which is really hard when you're going to the same space that someone was just murdered in. But you know, if you're going with the same passion that fueled Charlie and you're going to create the same kind of moments that God wants to do in our history right now, it's really profound. And I think some of you, God's going to turn the anger and the fear and the grief into activism, and is going to turn it into a fire that's actually going to help fuel your next purpose. Even if it's not like I'm a commentator, maybe it's not a commentator, like I'm doing the Sean Bowles show stuff that I'm doing with our commentator show. You know, we've been in the top 200 social commentary spaces on Apple for a news commentary, not in Christianity, a news commentary for a couple of years now. And so we get, you know, different news channels sometimes reach out to me for stories. A lot of it's negative, so I don't respond or I don't contribute. But the world's looking for voices right now. And I see that in the news commentary space. I see that in the church space. New relevant voices are emerging, especially through like YouTube and places that you would never know that they could emerge. You know, we're seeing it in music and film and television. We're seeing new voices of clarity rise up. We're seeing new fires ignite. But when you see something this tragic just happen, there should also be a place that's built in you of hope, because God uses every drop of blood that martyrs shed for redemption, just like he did for Jesus. Whenever somebody dies for Jesus, it actually is like a door of invitation for more for a whole generation. It's actually more to build the testament of Jesus in our generation. So some of you are feeling the all-out warfare intensify, but it's because there's a push that's happening that's going to cause an overcoming that we've never had before, a level of overcoming where it's like before and after. Just like the Charlie Kirk thing was a before and after, we're going to see a level of overcoming that's a before and after. And you don't want to misread the before and after. You don't want to just feel that push and that intensity, that warfare, and be in such warfare mode that you think the pressure is just building to the point of evil. It's actually, the pressure is building to be a hinge before the door swings. And some of you need to know that. You know, that I think tipping point or turning point was Charlie Kirk's organization. I think we're at a turning point. And this Rosh Hashanah, even as this happened right before, this Rosh Hashanah is a turning point. I think 2026 is a turning point for many of us. I think it's going to be a turning point in the economy of many countries in the world, especially America. I think it's going to be a turning point in the church, with many churches that were not willing to actually take a stand when it came to truth and are going to become irrelevant and disappear. And then other churches who are finally willing to take a stand or who are already taking a stand are going to emerge as major voices in our generation when it comes to truth. And I just think it's going to be really profound. We're going to see a turning point when it comes to the Generation Z, turning to Jesus. And we're already seeing that. We're going to see a tipping point when it comes to entertainment and film and media. We're going to see a turning point when it comes to people who are violating their voices and they're in major public spaces that they shouldn't be in, and because of their morality and because of their evil. And we watched that with the Diddy cases this year, of just exposures after exposure. I know it didn't resolve to a court case bringing true justice to the Diddy situation, but something in our generation is now looking differently at different mainstream pop celebrities and how people are getting empowered wrongly, and how people have money and status and voice, and they're standing up at, you know, campaign headquarters and giving speeches, but they don't really have a life of authority behind those speeches. They just have a voice in culture, and people are sick of it. They're looking for voices of clarity who have a life that is something that's anchored and worthy. And I think we're going to see a tipping point, a turning point for that. So I think it's going to be a season of turning points. Thank God. Thank God Charlie's death opened up a hinge on the door to swing open, and the warfare and that pressure of that hinge, and it's going to, that warfare is popping those hinges off so the doors can swing open. And I think, you know, I also see an inflection point or a watershed or a hinge moment or a threshold, a critical mass, the turning of the tide. The gate is swinging. Whatever phrase helps your faith grab the reality, the balance of power is shifting. Some of you are part of this right now. The balance of power is shifting. God's tipping points are never chaos. They're always carefully timed. They're so carefully timed. And inflection points where his strategy overturns the battle are so pre-planned. God has a plan. And some of you need to have the comfort of that in your life, that the warfare is not his plan, but there's a plan to put the enemy in such a checkmate that you're going to be in such a place of victory, you will be shocked. You will be shocked. Well, let me pray for you. I mean, this has been such a wild season. I'm just like thinking about heaven wants to rain down on us right now, but man, all hell is broke loose. And so, Father, I pray as this new year has begun, Rosh Hashanah has happened, we ask for wisdom from above, pure and peaceful, full of mercy kind of wisdom, God, that it says in James 3, Lord, raise up your voices of clarity in our homes. Raise up your voices of clarity in our churches. Raise up voices of clarity in our culture, God. We need them. We need them, especially like where Charlie Kirk was taken out, where many others have been marginalized. Lord, keep the authority and the fire burning on voices of clarity in the public stage of politics, in the spaces of entertainment and media, in the spaces of church and family, in the spaces of education, in the spaces of business and finance. Lord, raise up. And Lord, people who are listening right now, I speak over you. God's raising you up to be a voice of clarity. Jesus, you are our Solomon. You are the one who has ultimate wisdom. Help us to reflect that wisdom like Solomon did in his lifetime over people in our lives, God. And ignite our destinies with the holy fire, God. Break open the gates, release the breaker grace, and carry us through opposition into appointed words that you've prepared beforehand. I love that you've done that, God. We align with your strategy, not our striving. We align with your purpose. And God, even where some of us didn't remember that Job was 42 chapters long and he didn't get a breakthrough till the end. Some of us are in that kind of season where it feels like 42 chapters long. It feels like a long time, decades or years or months. And God, thank you that there's breakthrough coming, that there's something in the hinge of the pressure of this moment that's the breakthrough to open the door for all that you promised for us, God. And we receive that. And I want you to just even allow that to come into you right now. There's just the faith that God's breaking something open right now. We pray these things in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Man, I want to encourage you to do something in your spiritual growth, to sow into your own spiritual growth in the season. We have spiritual growth mentoring community. You could join us there. We have 4-week classes every month. You can join us there, but do something for your spiritual growth. Read the Bible with a coach. There's a lot of apps out there that do that. Join a mentoring community like ours where you take classes every month. You know, apply for the prophetic coaching intensive next month, could be really good for you. Do something, you know, do something that challenges you every day to be a participator in a way that's not just you leading yourself, but it is a way that you are consolidated into what God's doing right now in our generation. But if this has served you, again, consider partnering to us at donate.bowlsministries.com. And I want to pray that you experience in Rosh Hashanah 2026, the swing, the hinge, the watershed, the ignition, and the wisdom to carry it well.
Thank you for listening to Exploring the Prophetic. If you want to learn more about hearing God's voice, come over to my website, www.shawnbowlz.com. That's S-H-A-W-N-B-O-L-Z. I have many resources for you there, like some on hearing God, like my best-selling book, Translating God. I have prayer books on breakthrough and provision to help you to have more language to talk to God. And we even have a devotional on this series called Exploring the Prophetic. I also want to invite you to spiritually grow by joining our online thriving mentoring community, where we have 12 4-week live classes a year on subjects that will shape your relationship with God. Themes like hearing God's voice, dream interpretation, deliverance, and so many other spiritual themes from expert teachers. And I personally get to train you in my Prophetic Monthly Mastermind live group if you join. Plus, when you join, we have an amazing online community with a spiritual growth pastor who will lead you in weekly groups to practice what you're learning. Go to bowlsministries.com or shawnbowlz.com and click on Mentoring Community. See you next time on Exploring the Prophetic.